This morning's scripture reading will be from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Thanks, Tyler, for reading that for me. Subject I picked this morning, I want to tell you kind of how the hardest part of getting up here to speaking, I believe, is really trying to decide what you're going to talk on. And about a month ago, I went to a funeral. And at that funeral, it was one of my employees that passed away. And at that funeral, he had a preacher or a minister or whatever you title that they put on. And I don't want to say which church he was from, and I don't want to say the name of my employee, but I want you to picture that funeral. And there's an individual standing up here speaking, and there's a casket sitting over here to the left. And he starts to ask a bunch of questions. And the questions that he's asking is, he starts out by, I'm going to ask everyone questions and I'd like everybody to participate. And I'm going to let you know that the individual laying here in this casket, his hand is already up. He's answering yes to every question I'm going to ask you. And these questions have bothered me for about a month now, so I thought I would mix these in with what I'm going to speak about. But the first thing he did is he raised the Bible and he said, how many have seen this? So some of his questions were really easy. Well, everybody in the audience raised their hand. I think it was 100%. And then he said, how many have read any part of this? And pretty much everybody raised their hands, because whether it was read to them by their parents or they'd listened to grandparents, or they'd opened it up and they'd read it at bedtime or something like that. So everybody knew about this. And then he started to say some things that it kind of bothered me a little bit. He said, this is a guide. This is a guide. And he said, how many know about Jesus? How many have ever heard about Jesus Christ? So again, it was 100%. Everybody's hand was up. And I believe that. I don't think there's anybody in this world that hasn't heard about Jesus Christ. I think the Jews, the Islams, Iraqis, Iran, Afghanistan, it doesn't matter. China, I think they've all heard about Jesus Christ. So, you know, he's asking questions that everybody's hand goes up. And then he says, the purpose of this book is so that you know about Jesus Christ. That made sense to me. That you know about Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit. So he's still on track. And then he says, the only thing that you need to know out of this, we're going to learn today. He said, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? So some hands go down. It's not 100% at that time. Some hands go down. He said, I want you to look around. I want you to look around. And he said, you have fulfilled, you that your hands are up, have fulfilled everything in this book. Everything there is in here you've fulfilled. And he said his hand's still up. He believes in that. And they look around, he said, you have fulfilled the confession. And he said, I'm only going to talk about one scripture. And it was one of my favorites. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Anybody tell me what that is? John 3:16. That's the only verse he used the entire half hour. But he made his entire speech around that. And then he talked about churches. He talked about the different religions. Now, what he called everybody in the room is, you're all Christians now. What a Christian is those individuals that believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a Christian. And everybody's equal. And he said, everybody that had their hand up in this room, he said, will go to heaven. And then he wanted to ask one more thing. As he said, how many of you have been baptized? And he said, any time in your life, doesn't matter. Any time in your life. And there wasn't very many hands, probably half. And he said, those of you that didn't raise your hand still have something to do. And then he continued on with his sermon and talking about Christians and talking about different religions. He said, you can go to church anywhere you want, anywhere in the world, as long as you surround yourself with Christians. And his definition of Christians was those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said, you will go to heaven. And you go to service every Sunday. You go to service for one thing. And that is to be strong. That is to be strong. That's why you go to church on Sunday morning, is to be strong. So these people, when they left, they shook his hand, they congratulated him, and he said, that's how easy it is. That's how easy it is. It is so simple. It is so easy. And he said, God makes everything simple. And Jesus Christ came to this world to make it easy. So all these people are convinced when they leave that how easy it is, and it's bothered me for about a month. And I keep thinking I should write this individual and put a letter together and write him and to talk about the damage that he did. Because there were so many different people in that gathering that now thinks it's that easy. And they think they don't have to read this. They don't have to know anything in here. So my talk this morning, I didn't plan on spending that much time on that, but my talk this morning is knots which cannot be untied. And it's talk about, and I'm going to talk about the things in the Bible that you can't undo. In the Bible, the word knot, N-O-T, appears 5,582 times. And I was thinking in class this morning, and you know, being an engineer, I analyze everything, which is a failure of my mind. But in class this morning, we used the word knot, I think I counted 35 times. Just to kind of keep track. And I know in some scriptures it was said in what people was, their comments they were saying. But we use it a lot. But in the Bible, God put it in the Bible 5,582 times. The first one we find in Genesis 2:16 through 17. I'm going to go through some of these. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam was commanded to not eat of the tree of knowledge. We all know how the story ended up, and we've all suffered for Adam's decision. But the first commandment of not doing something was not eating of that tree. Another verse we find, we see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And this is James 2:24. The little word not refutes the human doctrine of salvation by faith only. James 2:24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. We also find in verse 17 and 26 the same thoughts on this. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And then in 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Man is justified by faith, walks by faith, lives by faith, and is saved by faith. But not by faith only. Then how are we saved by faith? We are saved by faith when faith obeys. And that's what this guy left out. He was preaching faith, and he was preaching half of everything that it says in here. But he left out the most important half. And that is when faith obeys. He did talk very shortly on how to obey, but he made it sound like it wasn't important. As we find throughout Hebrews chapter 11, which is a little bit of what Tyler read, such as walking around the walls of Jericho seven times in Hebrews 11:30. Well, if you think about Hebrews 11:30, they had faith that the walls were going to come down, but they couldn't just stand there and have faith. They had to walk around it 7 days, and then it came down. They had faith that that was going to happen. They did it, but they still had to do something. They had to do something. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Not of works. Yet in James 2, 24, James said, by works a man is justified. This confuses a lot of people. Since we know the Bible does not contradict itself, what is the explanation, since it's just said two completely opposite things? The works mentioned in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and people get this confused, are the inventions and devices of men. And that's why at the end it says, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should boast. And people don't look at it that way. They forget that last line that says it's talking about mankind. So they look at that you're going to be saved by faith and you don't need works. But it's about man's works. And some people believe that you can buy your way to heaven. And that's why I think this scripture's out there, is to make sure you know that you have no way to come up with an invention, change the scriptures, tell somebody they're going to go to heaven. You have no way to do that. That has nothing to do with you. And I think that's what the scripture means. The works mentioned in James 2:24 are the commandments of God. Those works are the commandments of God. When someone does such works, he has not done his own works, but God's works. He is then saved, not by the merit of the works, but by the faith exercised in doing them. So we know when we do God's works, when we do what we're supposed to do, when we do the commandments of what he's put before us, we know that we have a chance to make it to heaven. That's why we're all here this morning. We know that we have that chance. God of works also rebukes the contention that man can be saved by morality alone. You must have faith and works so that we can be saved by grace. And you always have this neighbor all of us have a neighbor or a friend that are just the best people you could ever be around. And I feel sorry for them, and maybe we need to do a better job in trying to convince them to be part of Christ's kingdom so that they can be saved. Because these verses, they take away that the good person's just going to make it. These verses contradict that. You have to do the commandments that Christ put before you to have a chance to be in heaven. The hard thing, the other hard verse is, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. This not refutes the contention that everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will be saved. So maybe the definition of a Christian, the way the world looks at it, is what that individual said. Because we all want to stick together as Christians, and that's because of the hatred that has happened with other religions right now, where life doesn't matter. So maybe we all want to get together as Christians because Christians believe in life. Christians believe in doing the right thing, and Christians believe in taking care of each other. So maybe that is why we need to stick with the definition of what Christian is as a worldly definition, that they actually believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a starting point. It's a very good starting point. I'm not saying that those people will make it to heaven, because that's what it says here. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, which they're all saying that. They're all saying, Lord, Lord. It says in this scripture that they will, that not everyone will make it to heaven. Man must be more than acknowledge Christ's lordship. He must be more than believe. He must be more than just religious. He must do the Father's will. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is found in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Many claim that they have seen miraculous and evidences to prove their relationship to the Lord, but this not teaches otherwise. The Christian religion is a religion of faith, and faith comes from the Word of God, as we find in John 20, 30, and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Another nod is, buy the truth and sell it not. This is Proverbs 23:23. Truth is a precious soul-saving commodity. This is found in John 8:32. Also in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Under no circumstances are we permitted to sell it, not for business, diplomacy, popularity, or peace in the family. Put a not for sale sign on it. That's the truth. I believe that in the colleges and the teachings and the people that go study this Bible, I think they know the truth, but they want to make money. I can't imagine how you can study this book and say some of the things people say. I don't know how they do it. I think this was written for the simplest of man, the simplest of mankind, whether man or woman, to be able to understand what it says here. And I believe that's what he's saying in when he starts out in Proverbs 23:23. Do not sell the truth. You're not out there to make money on twisting it to make it easy. And be not conformed to the world. This is found in Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This not rebukes worldliness in the lives of Christians. The popularity of it, everybody else is doing it, has no power to untie this knot in the scriptures. Another good scripture is 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The other knot is, when I'm listening to this individual, he says you do not have to go to church. You just go to church to be strong. I mean, he's making it so you just don't have to do anything. Another knot that's in the scriptures is not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. And this is found Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but everything but exalting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Some church members take this not out of the least little excuse. They try to come up with excuses that are more important to them to not go to church on Sunday morning. Recreation, a friend called, something that they have to take care of before they go to work Monday. There's every excuse that you can think of. Our example, we have examples in the Bible that talk about worship, that we have to worship. And it talks about gathering together in Acts 20 and 7. And it talks about membership and fellowship and learning from each other. It talks about Acts 20 and 7. It says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." And then we find in 1 Corinthians 16:2, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." Well, to do both of those things, you have to get together. You have to come together as a church, come together as a group of people, and you have to fulfill those commandments that he's put together for you. And last of all, "But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." And that is Matthew 25:12. This "not" makes the passage forever read that Christ will not know the ones at the judgment who have failed to make enough preparation. The foolish virgins had made some preparation, but not enough. So they knew the bridegroom was coming. They knew what they had to do. They didn't do everything that they were supposed to do. And they didn't get accepted. They didn't get to come in. Also, we have another warning on this in 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Knots which cannot be untied. Even though many will try, as we find in Matthew 7:13 and 14, none will succeed. And Matthew 7:13 and 14 says this, and there's so many scriptures here, I don't understand how people get around these. "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." It's another warning. Christ gives you the plan, very simple plan, but he still expects you to follow through. The knots that I've talked about this morning are: God's word will not pass away. God's first commandment to man: not by faith only, not of works of man, but of God. Not all Christians will be saved. Not by sight. Sell not the truth. Be not conformed of the world. Not forsake the assembly. I know you not. The road is narrow. That's all I have this morning. I hope you got some thoughts that you can apply to your life in what I've said this morning. And help those that are just kind and caring and really good individuals out there. Talk to them about Christ. Talk to them about the things that they need to do. Because there's good people out there that are being led astray. If you have anything that you'd like to make known to the congregation, or you'd like to be part of Christ's kingdom, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.